Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. In the coming weeks, make sure to follow their Twitter and Discord for updates on the next Launchpad collections. Dystope AI, minting January 20th. The team recently updated a few performance features as well for an improved trading and minting experience. Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. Today on the Ether, we have the Super Terra Dystope AI Pre-Mint Special. Let's take a listen.
Hello. Welcome to a special pre-mint, Eve of Mint, I'm calling it. Event as Dystope AI look to launch their main collection tomorrow at I think it's 10 p.m. UTC. So I think as many of us are very much looking forward to that. Got the pleasure of some of the guys from Dystope joining us now for a bit of a live session to talk through a bit of history and background of the project, familiar to some but potentially new to others. And also really an opportunity to potentially share some future plans and obviously importantly a little bit of the background on the overall project and particularly the core collection. So welcome.
How's it going, man? Thanks so much for having me. You've got Uncle Davo here from Dystope AI and really keen to chat through everything. So this will be recorded as well by Terra Spaces. Shout out to Finn for editing this. So we'll have a few people listening to this post going out live.
Thanks, Dave. There seems to be there's a general issue with feedback on these Twitter spaces. I'm sure that Finn and the gang will do a superb job of editing out some of that feedback noise. They always do a superb job. And anyone listening up to this call post or live, please do send these guys some tips. They more than deserve it for the excellent work they do for the Terra community. So really kind of to open up, I think it'd be great to talk a little bit about one of the things that really excites me about your project, and that is you've had one of the longest build-ups I've seen of any launch of an NFT main collection. And I say that in a really complimentary and positive way. You've collaborated with some of the biggest tier one projects in Terra NFTs, and I'm sure there are many more to come. I sort of listed out this afternoon going through, obviously, Galactic Punks, Hero, Lunar Bulls, and I see there are some specialist sub-community collaborations to take place. Obviously, I had the pleasure of working with you on the Blade Runner activities with Loop and also Terra Movie Club. Obviously, an exciting one coming up with the incredible first launch on LuArt, which was Hellcats. Just be great to sort of hear your thoughts, as a lead-in on, the inspiration behind some of those projects, and then perhaps, give us a bit of a tee into some of the exciting things to come in terms of collaborations.
Yeah, for sure. I think, the reason the build-up was so long is that essentially what we're trying to do can be complicated. It's using AI, which already can be quite technical to explain, to bring about collaboration. And we thought the best way to do that was just by showing people what we could do. And that requires some time to sort of set up partnerships, to execute on them, to airdrop things as well. So I guess our first substantial collaboration with another team was Astroverse. And that was, reaching out to the team, to Adam, there, and then figuring out a creative way to use the AI. And that's what we try and do for most of our projects. not just, you know, how can we make something that looks cool, but also like how can we make something that adds to the story of the NFT collection. So for Astroverse, it was letting people describe what was on their planets and then using AI to sort of visualize that. So I think that was a really big moment for the project, and that we got a lot of fans from that. I think people understood what the AI could do, that you know, our project was doing this regularly, and you know, sort of understood the potential of the project as well. And sort of the same went for Lunar Bulls, same goes for Hellcats and all these other collaborations that we're doing as well. These aren't just a pre-mint sort of gimmick that we're doing. Like, we expect to fully release these collaborations in the long term, and especially, you know, as part of utility for our holders. I think one way of looking at our NFT, yes, is like we've got a rich lore, we've got all of that we'll explore, but there are multiple sides. Like, we're also an access card into AI, so you can create things every month. But then also we're sort of, it's like we sit with Terra projects and really add to them. So I think if you're a big fan of the ecosystem and you hold items just like the Hellcats, you'll be able to get out a lot out of them, I think, by exploring the story, by, you know, using AI to create new things. So with the Hellcats collaboration, that'll be creating your own Twitter banner using AI, so describing your own scene from Hell. So you could say, I see demons jumping around a purple flamey hell, and AI will create exactly that that hellscape. So yeah, super excited with that. In terms of alpha for other collaborations, there's a lot. So I think, you know, airdrops for Astroverse holders are another thing we're going to do that also hold our project. I can talk about Wagmi Monkeys, Skeleton Punks, doing more for Lunar Bulls, yeah, and just a lot more. I think there's a huge pipeline we've already built up with collaborations, just so, you know, in the first few months, as we continue exploring the lore, there's also direct utility that people are getting as well.
Excellent. Thanks, Dave. I think for me, that build-up really created a very positive vibe. And I think there was something I saw in the Discord a couple of days ago where the project was very clear on the fact that you haven't shilled, you haven't tagged three friends and all those many things. I'm guilty of doing that myself, as I'm sure many of the others on this call are. I think it's just very refreshing that actually your art absolutely has sold your story. I think what I'd like to go on to next is really just to explore a little bit of background on the mint itself and some of the wonderful lore that I know you and I have previously spoken about and I've seen in a number of articles. It'd be great to sort of bring that life, that world to life, you know, the kind of after the moon has departed and so on.
Sure thing. So our mint is about 25 hours from now for the whitelisted minters. And then that'll go for 2 hours, and then it's the public mint. So we're only releasing 750 NFTs, so it's a pretty scarce collection, and that'll be 120 UST per NFT, and that's all on Lua. A few things to mention are that we do have rarity baked into the NFTs, so we've got different rare attributes that you'll be able to see. And then a few questions were like on the Discord, you know, what are the NFTs we're getting? Are they all the same? Because, you know, they're essentially like an access card to use the AI, but there's more than that. So we've built a rich lore about the moon disappearing from the Earth. So, you know, Luna disappearing from Terra. And, you know, that creates imbalances in the Earth. And so we've created 5 regions, and these are all displayed in our collection. So we've got the fallouts of the north. So that's an area plagued by a nuclear fallout with mutations, but also, you know, hyper-technological super cities. The infernos of the east. So that's festering volcanoes and extreme climates. We've got the sanctuaries of the south, which, you know, look good on the surface, very luscious and green. But we've got some crazy creatures there as well. We've got the wastelands of the west, so that's a dry, desolate, and unforgiving desert. And then we've got the Eternal Blue, which I'm personally the most excited about. I think I want to get a few prints of those NFTs for myself. But that's essentially the underwater area between all the five islands, between the other four continents, that I especially love the art for.
Excellent. And I loved your teaser about sea monsters. Brings back kind of those sort of 19th century drawings of galleons in the water and so on, which I think is really exciting. And that probably for me is the heart of what appeals to myself and certainly to others, that storytelling that you've created through the art. I think for me, it would also be good to have a little bit, and I appreciate we don't want to, well, we can go more technical if you wish, but just to get a little bit more background on the kind of how the AI works, because I found that fascinating on a previous discussion that we had.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, we're a team of four, all know each other IRL, very good friends, and then also good mix of technical backgrounds. So Walter D. Hill and Mika Chu are the two tech leads, so they've got deep experience with a lot of different technical things, but also have experience in AI art and machine learning. So essentially how it works is we've used open source libraries from OpenAI, done a bit of tinkering, set up sort of a data pipeline, and sort of made it ours. And then sort of essentially what we're doing is using open source libraries that can caption, so among other open source libraries, we're using one that is used to caption images, but we're using that in reverse. So what we've done is been able to sort of say, okay, this is a description of an underwater city, but instead of, you know, finding an image of an underwater city and then captioning it, it's doing it in reverse. So it's like, what does an open underwater city look like? And then two different models sort of work together to generate something that's close to an open, to an underwater city. So yeah, it's quite interesting, and like, tinkering with it and, you know, being able to create things that look consistent and in the style of, you know, the lore and the universe that we've been trying to create have been challenging, like, for the first few months. But now that we've got everything under control, that we've created, like, a consistent, cohesive art style, it really opens up a whole lot of possibilities for, you know, exploring the lore together. And that's what I want to do and we want to do. It's, you know, putting community in a universe and a dystopia, but then also allowing community to explore that using AI and shared storytelling. So each month we're going to be doing competitions and storytelling competitions where community can explore what's happened to the universe and, you know, potentially find a way out of the apocalypse.
Excellent. I think that will be very, very popular. There are a few projects at the moment talking about, and indeed in some cases actually delivering, on, if you like, comics, series. Do you envisage doing anything on that? Because obviously you're taking the inputs that are people's kind of written creatives, turning them into the visual representation, or indeed distorting. In the case of one piece of art that I was very impressed with, the creation of Adam, which I thought was a fantastic bit of transformation on AI. But is that something else you're thinking about, potentially almost like a compendium of some of that art that you could share, as I say, as other projects are exploring?
Yeah, definitely. And Heroes is another project that we've worked closely with and been able to take a sneak peek into their comics and things like that. So taking a lot of inspiration from other projects. But yeah, you're right. I think, you know, airdrops and offering consistent utility, really anchoring towards the lore of the project, is something we're going to do. Essentially, the way we want to run things like comics is to allow community to sort of shape how things turn out in dystopia. So because we're using AI as the, you know, principal artist, it means that we can create things at scale and then explore things. So we have, you know, a consistent and cohesive lore set out, but we're really excited to have community to sort of, you know, shape where things go, what we explore, and for AI to paint that picture. And also really excited to sort of create that sort of content. So whether it's comics, whether it's new one-of-ones, whether it's Twitter banners and things like that, and then airdrop it to holders too. So that's definitely on the cards.
And again, you've mentioned obviously that there's a utility for holding the pieces that will allow the lucky recipient of that piece to be able to then, I guess, shape their own private collection of AI rendered art. Is the intention there to allow, if you like, other images that an individual might submit to then be put through the Dystope AI algorithm? Or do you kind of have a set view on how those kind of, if you like, you know, regular airdrops and so on and transformations are going to take place?
Yeah, so we have a pipeline and a structure for the monthly morphs that we're doing. So I believe they'll be collected on the first of the month. We'll then process them in the next few days and then airdrop them a few days after that. So, you know, I think from collecting the images, closing off collection, processing them and airdropping them, it'll be maybe a week or 2 weeks, something like that. And, you know, all of that won't form part of the law. So, you know, if you morph a Hellcat through that, that won't be part of the official law. But in addition to that, we'll also do airdrops, morphing, storytelling competitions that are separate to those morphs. So, you know, I do envisage, you know, Hellcats joining the law, claiming the Infernos of the East or something like that, which we're open to. But that'll be separate to the monthly morphing as well.
That's now led me onto a thought of, and again, I'm not necessarily looking for alpha, but how potentially you could play a role in obviously some of the metaverse developments are clearly, you know, coming very quickly to Terra. Any thoughts on that area?
Really digging for alpha. Yep. So I think what I will say is that we've got a very cohesive art style. You know, the reason we've created a universe on top of this project is for a reason, like for people to explore things, for people to shape things. So I will just say that, you know, we're looking into that side of things. That's all I'll say for now.
Excellent. And it was literally just the kind of cogs in my brain turning at that point. So sorry, sometimes that's how I operate. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, I like as well that your approach to the law and that actually certain, if you like, work that an individual submits would not be, I suppose, in the kind of sci-fi genre, it wouldn't be canon to your general focus and lore, but at least it gives everyone that individual ability to over time build their own unique collection that they've effectively, I guess, in some respects, co-authored. So obviously we've got the mint, we've got the collaborations. I've tried to tease some alpha out. I think for me, really, because I'm conscious you've got a lot of these conversations happening over the next few days, it'd be good just to maybe take a slight departure and perhaps have a couple of minutes of your thoughts on, obviously, having been immersed in and surrounded by a lot of these, you know, very nascent early stage footsteps into NFT world, if you like, how you see the next 6 months to 12 months shaping up for Terra NFTs. I appreciate this. That's not always an easy one to answer on the spot.
No, I'm super excited about the state of NFTs on Terra at the moment. I think what's been great is the convergence of, you know, two major sort of tailwinds. I think one is the rotation of capital from Solana. So I think Solana and Ethereum NFT projects on there, it's just very saturated. People are sort of fed up with botting on Solana, with gas fees on Ethereum and botting, as well as just, you know, it's quite hard to pick out quality projects, I feel. It's just quite overwhelming to dive through. And, you know, I started, you know, on, you know, Ethereum NFTs as a collector, but then, you know, quickly became frustrated and, you know, found peace in Terra just because of, you know, the smaller, more curated, I guess, approach to NFTs, or, you know, the ability to sort of make sense of what was happening as well. So I think, you know, a major headwind is a lot of new players coming in, a tailwind is a new emergence of new players coming in on Solana. But what's really exciting to me is the supporting infrastructure that's now in place to welcome these people. So I think we're really excited to partner with Luart for our mint, just because what they're doing with gamification, staking, and loyalty rewards is really powerful in the NFT space, and not just on Terra. I think that's really best practice what they're doing, you know, across blockchains as well. And then things like, you know, DeFi opportunities in Terra as well mean that people are coming into a really rich ecosystem if they've been in Ethereum or Solana, and are really able to be onboarded into DeFi more generally. So I think, you know, I'm really excited about those two trends. And I really see this being the year of NFTs in Terra. I'm super excited for all of the projects that are coming out. In partnering with a bunch of projects as well, we've been able to get sneak peeks of a lot of alpha and work really closely with some teams. So, yeah, there's a lot of amazing things happening.
I think for me, that I call them affectionately the Solana army have really put a rocket, a positive rocket, that is, under the premium Terra NFTs in literally the last week to 10 days, which I think is very exciting. And I do see potential for, you know, further expansion there. I guess one more question from me, really, on a related theme. I'm seeing a lot more projects now looking at crossovers. I think literally only today, Terra Dragons announced they're going to do a secondary mint on Solana. Heroes, clearly, the first Solana Terra two chain mint that we've seen involving a Terra project. Any plans from this Dystope to look at potential minting on other chains? Obviously, you've come from ETH and so on in the past, or are you happy that it's very much grounded in the wonderful world of Terra?
Yeah, we're really happy about being a Terra NFT project. I think we've, you know, even before we've minted, we've really cemented ourselves with other projects and built really strong relationships with teams that we'll be able to continue to explore. And, you know, I think with the amount of, you know, airdrops, collaborations, partnerships and competitions we've got coming up in the next few months for our holders, it's really hard to imagine, you know, immediately doing a dual mint or anything like that. I think anything we do, we run by community, and, you know, especially bringing on, you know, another mint or anything like that would be something we'd have to really, really, you know, understand how community felt about it, particularly considering that we're a drop of only 750. So, you know, scarcity matters for our holders, I'm sure. But yeah, I will say in general, I think it's exciting how projects are sort of bridging the gap between blockchains. I know both Luart and One Planet are doing things in this area, sort of making it easier for folks to come over from Solana and vice versa. So, yeah, I think it's a trend I'm really excited by. I'm just not sure whether, you know, we would be minting on Solana anytime soon. I think we're really, really happy with the Terra ecosystem, the collaborations we've got going, and, you know, what we can offer for our holders in the Terra ecosystem as well.
That's great to hear. Certainly, you know, my name betrays my massive passion for Terra. And whilst I have literally dabbled a toe into some of the other chains, curiously, Algo has a very small NFT community, and that was something that I explored last year and enjoyed. And I think what Terra has done is just taken it extremely quickly to the next level, and it's fantastic to have you as part of this ecosystem. What I'm inclined to do, because I don't want to keep you for too much longer, was you've got a very busy 24 and a half hours ahead. Maybe just give the floor a chance just to ask a quick question, if anyone's got a burning desire to do so. Obviously, whilst we're waiting for that, and no pressure whatsoever to raise your hand, I would say probably just to hand back to you, Dave-O, you know, for a last word, before we close out, and thank you as always for your time. And as obviously we've had many electronic and some voice conversations in the last few months, hugely excited for tomorrow and treating it as almost the night before Christmas. Well, it's night before Christmas Eve, isn't it? Well, no, it is the night before Christmas tonight. I think it was night before Christmas Eve yesterday. So I've just got one more person has just stepped up. So what I'll do is perhaps Dylan, if you want to sort of, you know, put your question across, and then we'll look to wrap up fairly soon.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for hosting this and you know, giving a platform for all the projects. It's great what you guys are doing. I have a question about regarding on these morphs. I know they're like their own tokens, so eventually you could be able to sell them, you know, to community or hold them or whatever you want to do with them. So like the scarcity aspect of the 750 that we're gonna have, will the morphs look about the same as the original collection? And do you think that it will hurt later on if we have a lot of collabs and you know, to keep the scarcity aspect, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Thanks, Dylan. And finally, good to put a voice to a name as well. We've been chatting in the DMs too. Yeah, it's something we've definitely been thinking about. So there are a couple of points on it, I guess. The first is that the morphs that people make will look different to the original collection. And that's because we'll be morphing or using predominantly existing NFTs and then shaping them in the way that users describe. So they will look different from the original collection, won't have any connection to our lore either. So they will be separate in that sense. The collaborations as well, we're doing them with only a small amount of partner projects. So we're doing that as well to benefit our holders predominantly. So there will be airdrops to holders in separate collections. So what you'll see on LuArt is just the 750 NFTs. So we're not worried about diluting the brand value of the collection in that way. I think, you know, by offering people utility, and I think as well, as people start to do more creative things with morphs, so we're allowing people to, you know, buy them and sell them. So I think as we see people doing creative things and potentially even selling the NFTs, you know, as one of ones, that it'll increase the brand value and like let people know what you can do with the monthly pass to the AI. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. And if Super Terror doesn't mind, I'd like to ask another question. Is that okay, or do you want me to, you know, get back? Okay, cool. So I know we spoke about this on the general chat and some time ago, and I was just thinking with, you know, having all the holders holding the pieces, is there maybe in the long term maybe a way of passive income by giving your service, your morphing as a service, as, you know, a way to bring back money to the treasury, or even money back to holders?
Yeah, definitely. It's a great question. And I think, you know, when we were chatting, we were talking about that morph as a service, which is definitely something that's interesting. I think there are a couple of things, and these are all things that we'll have to decide as a community. So I guess the first is, you know, whether or not we think morphing as a service, like opening it up and sort of charging people that don't hold our tokens, whether that would, you know, dilute potentially the utility that actual holders have. So at current, it'd just be 750 morphs per month. But, you know, potentially extending that might be something that community is not after. So it's just sort of discussing that. I think it's a great idea in terms of giving holders passive income to sort of either rent out morphs or, you know, sell their NFTs that they create through morphs, things like that. You know, we're fully open, as we've said in the past, to giving all commercial and IP rights to whatever people create down to the holders. So even things as a starting point, as like, you know, whether we give people airdrops of the NFTs or we give people the actual image itself, so that they can go and say, hey, I want to mint this on OpenSea instead, or I want to mint this on Foundation instead. because, you know, that has a better time with one-of-ones, for example. That's something that we're open to and that we'll be chatting with community about. Because, I mean, it's a pretty nifty tool, I guess, to be able to use AI like this and also to be able to have all the commercial rights to what you create. So, yeah, we're really looking to make sure that community are getting the most out of that aspect. So things like how they're given, as well as, you know, passive income, renting it out, morphing as a service, are things that we're definitely flexible about and will be discussing with community.
Yeah, so just to get off after I say this, I appreciate you guys' time and this platform that you guys are on, you know, before pre-mint. I think with the whole TerraSec thing, I haven't really looked into it, but they charge the whole $200 for the, you know, for the service. I guess depending if you like bought in and you want that 3D image. So like to keep scarcity, I was just thinking like, you know, maybe you could charge a premium so it'd be a little bit more scarce, because if you really want to do something like that, you could charge, you know, a good fee. But I like everything you're saying. I look forward to everything ahead, man. And I'm looking forward to the whitelist as well. Thank you so much for your time, guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Dylan. And we'll definitely be chatting soon. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Morph before we take it out to community, the Morph as a service. So I really appreciate you coming up here, man.
And likewise, Dylan, excellent contribution. Really appreciate those questions. And it's made me think as well. I think I'm personally super excited, and I have been for quite some time. Clearly, there are lots of excellent projects in this space. But for me, Dystope AI, it's unique and it's special. And I think tomorrow night's going to be very exciting, looking at all of the different images coming up on my feed between 10 and midnight my time over in England, and clearly staying up for the open mint, which I expect to be over in moments. I think such is the excitement around this project. So I think in terms of, I've not seen any other speakers step forward, and that's absolutely fine. I'm going to sort of wrap it up now and just sort of wish Dave-O and the team every success with the mint tomorrow. I'm a massive fan. I think it's going to go very well. And look forward to getting you back for a future conversation. Certainly, this isn't the start. It isn't the end. It's very much, I guess, the end of the beginning, as someone famously once said. I think there's so much more to come, and it's really, really super exciting to have been able to host this space. And thank you for agreeing to come on. I've certainly thoroughly enjoyed it, even if my voice is about to give out after too many conversations earlier today. But thank you very much, Dave-O and team, and best of luck for your mint.
Thanks so much, everyone. Really looking forward to mint. I think we've been really shaped by community as well and been taking on feedback. And so we're really happy with what we've got to show you on mint day, like the 750 images, you know, from the art style to elements of the lore. We even have pieces that are submitted by community, you know, that have posted them in the Discord. So it's really been community shaped. I think when we started this project, you know, and we were working on this almost 5-6 months ago, when we were working on it, it looked so different to what it is now. You know, doing the morphing wasn't even a thing 5 months ago. The lore looked a little different and the art style a bit different too. But because of people's feedback, which we always appreciate, we've been able to really create something that we're just so proud of. And yeah, I mean, I'm so excited for people to see the images. Rosie is running a tight ship on not letting me leak anything. you know, Kyle Woken has been pestering me for leaks. I joke, like, but yeah, I've been wanting to leak things, but haven't been able to. We've sort of hand curated the 750 images. So yeah, I'll definitely be scooping some that I want on my wall. And so I'll see you all on Lua.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And can't wait. Thanks, everyone, for joining tonight. And for those listening later, thank you for listening in.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Super Terra Dystope AI pre-mint special, recorded on Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. In the coming weeks, make sure to follow their Twitter and Discord for updates on the next Launchpad collections, Dystope AI minting on January 20th. The team also updated some performance features as well for an improved trading and minting experience. Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. When I'm ripping and rapping, I ain't picking the bastards who be tricking the masses into getting their asses kicked. Feels like I've been getting my masters. Fuck a pump and double like the income that's passive. Raise up the bar before I fly right past it. I'll be writing rhymes till they put me in a casket. Old man shit, put the lotion on its skin. Then put that shit back in the damn basket. Like Buffalo Bill, the way I'm ruffling feathers. Snuffing out debt, cut the heads off collectors. Keep a couple heads in a jar as keepsakes. And take the rest and turn them into free. Upgrade the feeling, supply the free base. Looking all professional, tools in the briefcase. Running on empty from gassing up my teammates. First one down, let me know how that sleep tastes.
Now places the lotion in the basket.
And impossible, defending the plausible from end to demonstrable. The mission isn't even worried about the clearance. Running interference till our enemies fear us. We're only one disappearance away from a bad day. Everybody trying to save face on the last day. Feeling fancy, about to pull out the masse. Drop the eight ball in passing, that's so passe. I'm getting nasty, you cannot put it past me. A mix between blasphemy and talk everlasting. Feeling like a masterpiece, looking like a tragedy. Trying to get through another day full of savagery. Getting headstrong from working in the mess hall, all hands on deck, waiting for our next haul. I need the rest, got big plans to eject, so feed the grass and keep off the Kleenex.
I am interested in magic because I am fascinated with psychology. I love to learn about how people make inferences down, how they draw conclusions and find patterns and information. And in particular, I'm interested in all that can go wrong. How an individual can be led astray with certain cognitive vulnerabilities or exploited.
Terra Spaces.